You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Jenna Jankowski.
And I'm Erin Wagermiller. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, January 15th, 2018. Today is Martin Luther...
Yeah, I have them make a list. It's actually like deal breakers, what can I deal with, and then what are my wants and needs.
Later in the program, WFHB Michael correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Monroe County Commissioner Amanda Barge about her career in politics. That's coming up on today's edition of Big Talk with Michael Glab.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Israel Fernando Herreras served with the City of Bloomington Commission on Hispanic and Latino Affairs, Lotus Bloomington Worldwide Friendship, and countless other groups. We'll hear from Herrera on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, your daily headlines.
Snow accumulation has closed schools across the region. Schools in Bloomfield, Eastern Green, Mitchell, and Spencer Owen Community Schools, as well as Lighthouse Christian Academy, all closed today due to snowfall. Monroe County Schools were closed today for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. The Herald Times reports Bloomington Community Orchard's MLK Day event has been canceled, Mother Hubbard's Covered Food Pantry is closed, and the South Central Community Action Program's Martin Luther King Day event at the YMCA has also been canceled. The Indiana Department of Transportation had plow trucks on the roads across southern Indiana. According to a press release, 145 plow trucks have been deployed. 26 were deployed in the Bloomington area. NDOT sent a full call out to its snowplow operators at 10 p.m. last night. Parts of south central Indiana received 4 inches of snow last night. Additional snow added to accumulations this morning. The National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory for the area until 7 p.m. tonight. Additional snowfall is expected tomorrow. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports about 4,200 people are injured annually involving ice, sleet, or snowy conditions.
PHH Mortgage will pay the state of Indiana millions of dollars in a negotiated settlement. WFHB correspondent Jonah Chester brings us that report.
Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill, along with attorney generals from 49 other states and more than 40 state mortgage regulators, have reached a $45 million settlement with mortgage lender and service provider PHH Mortgage Corporation. The agreement settles allegations that PHH improperly dealt with mortgage loans from January 2009 through December 2012. According to the settlement, PHH had a lack of controls on documents, including inconsistent signatures and maintenance practices, and allowed unlawful executions and foreclosures. The settlement requires PHH to adhere to stricter mortgage servicing standards, conduct internal audits, and provide the results of those audits to a committee comprised of state officials from the 49 states involved in the suit. PHH did not admit to any wrongdoing in the settlement. In a statement, PHH said that, quote, "Our decision to resolve this legal matter under the terms of the settlement agreement and consent orders is not an admission of liability, or that we violated any applicable laws, regulations, or rules governing the conduct and operation of our servicing business during the relevant time frame." End quote. The agreement includes $30.4 million in payments to defrauded borrowers. In addition, the settlement includes payments to the state attorneys general, who helped lead the investigation and negotiation, and state mortgage regulators involved in the case. The settlement does not absolve PHH of any illegal conduct that may have occurred since 2013. Indiana residents affected by the PHH case are expected to receive a cumulative $1 million to be distributed amongst those impacted. Approximately 1,500 Indiana borrowers are eligible for a payment from the suit. A settlement administrator will contact recipients at a later date, according to the Attorney General's office.
That was WFHB correspondent Jonah Chester. An Indianapolis man died today after an ice fishing incident in Morgan County. The Indiana Department of Natural Resources says Gregory Davis of Canby was lifelined to IU Methodist Hospital in critical condition, where he was pronounced dead. A DNR press release states the incident occurred at a private pond in Martinsville. The property owner reportedly noticed footprints walking on the ice leading to a hole with fishing equipment, but told law enforcement he found no fishermen or returning footprints. He then called 911.
Tomorrow morning, officials with IU Health and the City of Bloomington will break ground on the new Regional Academic Health Center. IU Health spokesman Terry DeModis says the new hospital, off the bypass in Bloomington, is scheduled to open its doors in 2020.
Tomorrow, we are breaking ground on the new Regional Academic Health Center, which is a partnership between Indiana University and Indiana University Health. It's going to be a fantastic and very exciting event, and it is a ceremonial event that will actually take place indoors, but we will begin to see earth moving along the construction site very soon.
DeModis says once the new Regional Academic Health Center is completed, IU Health will transfer patients from the current hospital on 2nd Street.
It's scheduled to be completed in the year 2020, probably later in the year. And then there is a transition time as well to move equipment and patients, and that's a very complicated undertaking. So we don't have an actual opening date yet, but we expect the building to be completed in 2020.
IU Health is planning to demolish the current hospital as part of an agreement with the City of Bloomington.
IU Health and the City of Bloomington have signed a letter of agreement to provide the space where the current hospital and some of the surrounding facilities are located to the City of Bloomington at a highly discounted price of $6.5 million. And also as part of that agreement, we are going to make sure that we leave the space where the hospital is in a position that it can be built on. We'll actually plan to demolish the building. And so the city has an opportunity now, and they've begun this, where they are going to be seeking public input and having a community conversation about what is the best use for that land.
Some Bloomington residents have raised concerns that moving the hospital out to the bypass will increase ambulance times and make the hospital less accessible for residents downtown.
We are working with the city and Indiana University to make sure that there's sufficient access to the building as you drive in. And so there'll be some changes around that area in terms of access into the land. And then the important thing as well is that we will have our ambulances here. So if there is an emergency for someone and they call 911, those ambulances will be able to get patients to the hospital just as quickly as they would have in the building that we're currently located in.
Tomorrow's groundbreaking ceremony will take place at 10 a.m. in IU's Memorial Stadium. The Monroe County Health Department is cautioning Bloomington residents after an outbreak of measles was discovered last week. Monroe County Health Department Director Penny Caudill says most people are vaccinated against the measles.
That is the good news, that most people should be fully vaccinated or have immunity. For instance, people who were born before 1957 would be considered immune. So yes, that is the good news, is that most people, if they've received full vaccination, should have immunity and it should not be a concern. It is, however, a serious concern for people who may be unvaccinated.
Caudill says this is the first outbreak of the measles she's seen during her tenure.
Certainly, we haven't had a case of measles here in quite some time. I've been the administrator since 2008, and we've not had one during that time. I would have to dig in records to see exactly how long maybe it had been. The state health department might have that easily. But certainly, there are measles that occur in the state.
The health department is warning patrons of several area businesses to watch for signs of the measles after an infected person visited those areas. Those businesses include Bed Bath & Beyond, both the CVS on 3rd Street in Bloomington, as well as the CVS on South College Mall Road, and anyone who stayed at the Holiday Inn. The infected person also rode the Go Express shuttle from Indianapolis International Airport. Caudill says anyone experiencing symptoms of the measles should get checked out.
Measles and other vaccine-preventable infections, the best protection is getting vaccinated. So the first thing that I would say is situations like this are a good reminder that we all need to look at our vaccination records, make sure that they're up to date, that we know where they are. And then if there's a gap, if we aren't up to date, we can contact our healthcare professional and get those vaccinations current. So that would be the first thing that I would say that we need to do. The second, it's also a reminder that we say this all the time, but good hand washing, you know, that coughing in your elbow, you know, sleeve, you know, in a Kleenex, good hand washing, stay home if you're feeling ill. If you have a fever, you know, symptoms of influenza, measles, you know, any kind of communicable disease, if you're ill, stay home.
Caudill says she couldn't release information about the infected person, but said that they are an IU student. Measles symptoms typically occur 1 to 2 weeks after infection. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Erin Wagermiller.
And I'm Jenna Jankowski. Amanda Barge is a first-term Monroe County Commissioner and a rising star in the local Democratic Party. She appeared on last week's Big Talk, and after the show, spoke with Michael Glab about what the commissioners are up to these days. She's also a family counselor in private practice and spoke about how politics can be a deal-breaker in some marriages.
So, Amanda, what are you and the commissioners, the other two?
Pat Stofers and Julie Thomas.
Okay. What are you kids up to these days?
Yeah, so Pat and Julie and I, you know, we're a board, but we all kind of each have our own things that we work on. But we all have to work together. You have to vote 2 out of 3. So it's a vote. We can't just go off and do our own thing without talking to the others. But Pat is has been working on the convention center expansion. That's something that we're looking at. And then, you know, we're also, obviously, at the opioid summit, we're moving forward, we're going to look at having community conversations throughout the year. And we're looking at a navigator, which is basically an addictions navigator. So if someone wants to go online and needs help, then they can talk to somebody immediately and figure out where they can go or what.
Ah.
Yeah, so we're working on that, which is kind of exciting.
And that's above and beyond like an emergency urgent hotline type thing, whereas I feel like I'm going to kill myself, that type of deal?
Right. No, it would be specific just for addictions.
Uh-huh.
So, because, you know, we have 211. We have Centerstone has an emergency line. This would be specific to, you know, my son is drinking too much. I don't know what to do kind of thing. So yeah. I'm going to call you and you're going to tell me my options.
And over the next 2 months, what can I do? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And well, it'll be the cool thing about it is it'll be a human being. So it'll be actually someone that can help. You know, it'll be someone with experience in that field that can help move someone along. And then we also have the bicentennial coming up.
Uh-huh.
I know. So in 2018, and we're working really hard on that. There's going to be some really fun activities. So that's January 14th, I think, is our big first event. And I put some trivia up on my Facebook today that nobody seems to be able to get, which is what was the first thing that the government purchased, and I'm going to say it was a barrel of whiskey.
The Monroe County government?
Yes, in 1818.
A barrel of whiskey.
And it was for to have at land sales. Isn't that the craziest thing ever?
To have at land sales.
Yeah, so they bought it for sale, like to celebrate.
Oh, I see. Ah, yeah, well, that, yeah, okay.
I know. Wait, so we're going to learn this stuff all next year. We're going to learn all this cool trivia. I'm really excited.
The good old days.
That's right. I know. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So anyway, we're going to learn all kinds of great things.
Now, you mentioned that there's the three of you, and you have to vote on things. Should we go forward with this, or should we stop that? Is it like the Supreme Court where you guys sit down together and say, here's my idea and let me try to convince you?
We cannot do that.
Ah.
So the open door law, actually, we have to have all of our meetings in public. So that's why we have a weekly work session and also a weekly kind of what we call the formal public meeting. So if one of us has an idea, like I had the idea of having these community conversations, you know, meetings throughout the year that the commissioners host for on opioid topic of opioids. I had to bring it in public to my commissioner colleagues. I couldn't, you know, call them ahead of time and say, hey, I really want you to vote on this. I had to say, hey, is this okay with you two? And they said, absolutely move forward with it. But yeah, we have to have all our conversations in public. Very transparent.
What if you run into each other on the street?
We can do that. We can run into each other. That's totally fine. We just can't talk business.
Yeah, okay.
It's tricky.
But if people are driving by and they see the three of you running into each other on an intersection, they'll say, hey.
Yeah, what are you guys talking about? We can have lunch together. We can't make any decisions or talk about how we're going to vote.
Okay.
I know.
Hillary and Bernie, I made my decision the night before.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, because it was nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm. Did you and your wife fight about that?
We did not.
Good.
Now that's an interesting thing.
Speaking a lot of couples fought about that one.
Family counselor, right?
Yeah.
And it makes me think, what was the name of that couple from the Clinton era? There was Mary Madeline.
James Carville.
And James Carville, mm-hmm. right? I could not be married to someone who didn't hold my political viewpoint.
Yeah, the values. So different.
There are values.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you say, so what values do you share then, if not those?
Yeah.
And they probably have been in with their social worker, twice a week at this point.
At least, yeah, during some of those campaigns.
Oh, yeah. Honest to gosh. And she was part of the Bush administration as well.
I know.
Wild.
They probably, you know how they say, like, that Republicans and Democrats in Congress, at least they used to get together for cookouts and stuff. They probably share more values than we know and.
Like
behind the scenes.
Like that book that was written by Tip O'Neill where he talks about his relationship with Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
And yes, they did get together.
They did.
Yeah, and they were pals.
Yeah.
Still, I want the person who I'm next to 24 hours a day to think along my lines.
It's helpful.
It's my litmus test.
That's right. We call them deal breakers. There you got deal breakers.
Is that a social worker term?
Well, that's what I do. Yeah. I have people make their list of deal breakers. You know, what's a deal? What's something you can deal with? What's the deal breaker?
You mean when someone comes in and says, now don't mention names because we can't do that. We know that. But when someone comes in and says, my mate and I are having trouble. And then you say, what are some of the deal breakers?
Yeah, I have them make a list. It's actually like deal breakers. What can I deal with? And then what are my wants and needs?
Wow.
No. Yeah.
I don't even know.
I know. You might need to do that. No.
And
it's
now
good to do for all
I'll
of
wind
us.
Up divorced, and you know whose fault it'll be?
I don't want that. No.
Yours.
No, you're not
going to
know. No,
we're way beyond that, for gosh sakes.
Yeah.
That was Big Talk's Michael Gleb speaking with Monroe County Commissioner Amanda Barge. Tune in every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. immediately after the Daily Local News for more Big Talk with Michael Gleb.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Support for WFHB also comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference. Volunteer.
Hi, my name is Israel Herrera. I volunteer with the City of Bloomington Commission on Hispanic and Latino Affairs. I also volunteer with La Escuelita, a Latino program for children and families. And I also volunteer at WFHB as a host for a radio show that is called Un Cafecito Con. Well, since very young, during my college in Colombia, I am originally from Colombia, I have been involved with social organizations, and I think that it's very important to have a social mission, and I really like to help to give you know, my hand to people that I can help in any way with education, guidance, and any, you know, kind of opportunity that I can share. So I really want to provide these opportunities for people who might not be able to get it in a certain way or to know about that. It's always my idea of helping. It's the idea of orienting is the idea of providing the best for other, you know, like other people like me. I think that not everyone has the same opportunities or access to services. So I have noticed the lack of support for a group of people or a minority. So it has given me the motivation to try to find those ways to open more opportunities, to try to give them more access. Services like health, education, they are important and essential components for a human life. Someone who is healthy, someone who is educated will contribute to the community with progress and development, ideas. I am a person, when I am in a situation where I need help, I ask for help, and I really value and appreciate those people helping me. If someone has done this for me, I also would like to help in my way, in the way that I can provide something to someone else. This tool that I'm giving them to do things by themselves is something that I'm proud of. Thanks for listening. My name is Israel Fernando Herrera, volunteer with the City of Bloomington Commission on Hispanic and Latino Affairs, with La Escuelita, and also with WFHB and the program Hola Bloomington and Un Cafecito Con.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake with three featured volunteer opportunities for the week. You can help the Interfaith Emergency Winter Shelter at Wheeler Mission support people experiencing homelessness with nightly shifts from 8 p.m. to 7 a.m. through March 31st. A quiet, well-lit room along with free parking, free Wi-Fi, and lots of free coffee are available for volunteers during the especially in-need overnight two-hour shifts between midnight and 6 a.m. Get trained today to start your shift. Or become an activist for water quality as a Hoosier River Watch volunteer. This state-sponsored water quality monitoring initiative engages citizens to become active stewards of Indiana's water resources through watershed education, water monitoring, and cleanup activities. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin and Jonah Chester, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Chris Martin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Erin Wagermiller.
And I'm Jenna Jankowski. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as other WFHB news programming, online at wfhb.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. coming up next on WFHB. The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.